Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus.
Hello, friends. Thank you so much for joining the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We've been having a good study on the power of the tongue. Now, I'm about to continue that with the Lord's grace and help, so let's just ask Him for that. Precious Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today for grace, for help in a time of need, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you share with our brethren today, Lord, something that will be beneficial to them, something that will cause them to be able to stand, something that will cause them to be able to conquer their enemies, something that will cause them to be overcomers in the flesh, too. And, Father, we praise you for it. We know that you're working all things together for our good, and you're not going to cease until we awake in thy likeness, as David said. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, we discovered basically that coming up out of the heart of man is a spring. It can be of bitter waters or it can be of sweet. And we discovered that the sweet waters are basically coming into agreement with the Word of God and being a blessing to those around us, a healing of the nations, so to speak, you know. And that out of the thoughts and out of the heart is where this spring springs forth. And, of course, it goes forth out over our tongue and becomes words of life. And we saw that if you want to bring the tongue into submission, you first basically have to repent, change your mind, and agree with the Word of God. And basically reprogram your computer, right? And I want to start with Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Now we discovered that the word idle here is Argos, and it means barren or unfruitful. Matter of fact, it's used in James chapter 2, where faith apart from works is barren or unfruitful. And so, what is the work of one who believes? Well, the most important work of one who believes is what they say. And, you know, James also said in that chapter, he said, I will show you my faith by my works. I, by my works, will show you my faith. See, there are people who say they have faith, they say they believe, but their works don't agree with that. And that is not impressive to God. It doesn't work, it doesn't save, it doesn't deliver. Okay? But he says here that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Have you ever come into a day of judgment? He's not saying that people are not judged until the end time day of judgment. We all come into days of judgment. And when you speak idle words, that's what brings judgment upon you in the first place. That's what we're going to see. And we give account in a day of judgment because of those idle words or unfruitful words. Words that don't bear the fruit of Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And verse 37 says, For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Justified means counted righteous. Well, this should make us fear the Lord, because God is saying that what we say is very, very important, and that we should count it so. Because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, he says. And what we say is a mirror image of what's down inside. And in some cases, if we pay attention to what we say and we read the Scriptures and we see that sometimes we're very contrary to what God says in the Scriptures, we should understand that that contrariness is coming up out of our heart, you know, and that we need to repent, still need to repent. Watching your tongue is watching your heart, because that's where it's really coming from, you know. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 4, let God be true, but every man a liar, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and might prevail when you come into judgment. Now, you see, it's words that bring us into judgment, but it's righteous words, words that are in agreement with God, let God be true and every man a liar, that cause us to prevail when we come into judgment. And so these things should make us fear the Lord and depart from evil and train our lips, which is what I want to talk to you about. You know, Proverbs 18 and 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, that can mean your death and life, and it can be the death and life of people around you, as we saw last study. And so, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And you say, well, which one is he talking about? Death and life? They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof? Well, he's talking about both of them. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, we're all going to prove whether we like death or whether we like life. We're going to eat the fruit of the one that we love. If you love life, you will obviously pay very close attention to what you say, and you will begin to train your tongue to come into agreement with the Word of God. Our minds are like computers that need to be programmed so that what we see on the monitor reflects something that's beneficial and a blessing, you know. You know, a computer by itself is pretty worthless without a monitor, right? And basically what God is saying here is the monitor is the tongue. I mean, it reflects what's inside your programming, right? And if you say you're a believer, and yet everything you say is contrary to what God says, then that's a lie, right? I mean, so we need to reprogram this computer so that what comes out of our mouth is the word of the Lord, and is effectual in changing the world around us, changing ourselves, because the Bible says basically too that the tongue is like a rudder turning the whole ship. The tongue is able to tame the whole body. It's a very powerful tool that God has given us. But first, again, we have to reprogram the computer. In Romans chapter 12, we're told, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable service. I mean, obviously, folks, we came here to die just like our Lord Jesus did. Our death is not necessarily physical. It is spiritual, though. It is the death of the old man. It's the death of the old tongue, too, because that old tongue is a very destructive and a powerful force that burns down great forests, according to James, right? Verse 2 says, be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's, we've got to reprogram our computers. If you're not spending any time in the Word of God to put that down in your heart, first of all, you've got to put it in there enough until it starts overcoming what's in there, you know. And some people, you know, touch the Word of God once a week, twice a week, you know. They don't really put it in there enough to empower them to overcome and to bring it back to their remembrance, you see. And so we're told here, be not fashioned according to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wouldn't you like to prove what the perfect will of God in your life is? Well, it's not going to happen without the renewing of your mind. You'll never walk in perfection without the renewing of your mind, right? Well, James had something to say about that too. You know, he said it's not just the mind, as we've been seeing all along. It's what comes out of the mind. It's the monitor, not just the computer, right? And so James said in chapter 3 and verse 2, "For in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man." Now, we just saw Romans chapter 12 telling us that if we transform our mind, we will prove what the perfect will of God is. He's talking about, of course, in your life, right? The perfect will of God, walking in the perfect will of God, because you reprogram your computer. But now James is telling us, now, wait a minute, there's something that, you know, faith without works is dead, you know, and it's not just what's in the computer, it's what comes out the monitor, right? "For in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also." Wow, now, many people are worried about how they're going to bridle this body, how they're going to bring it under the control of the Lord, and they're worried about that. Well, if you're worried about it, you really haven't got the gospel down in your heart, because the Lord's already taken care of that for you. Not a problem. You just need to exercise faith in what He's already done, right? But He tells you here that the words that you speak are able to bridle the whole body. And I love this text here. Verse 3 says, "Now if we put horses' bridles into their mouths, that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also." Any of you who've ever ridden horses, it's amazing how what that bit will do to make that horse just turn. This great big horse, little bitty man, you know, just turn that horse and no problem. Well, God is saying the tongue will do the same thing with your life. "Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, and are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whether the impulse of the steersman willeth. So the tongue also is a little member, and boasteth of great things, where the impulse of the steersman willeth." You know, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Do you know how the Lord sets us free? He gives us His will. You know, nothing can restrain God's will. He does what He wants to do in the armies of heaven and upon the earth, Daniel said. He does what He wants to do. Now, the problem with us is we have a schizophrenic will. We have will to do things that are contrary to God's will. But He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure as we walk by faith in Him. So He gives us His will. And now, this working up out of our heart from our computer and us as the steersman, you know, with His will in us, we're the steersman and He's the steersman through us. We are able to turn this body with this tongue. We're able to educate this tongue. We're able to restrain this tongue. We sometimes have to back up and say, "Nope, I don't like what I said there. I don't accept that, Lord. Forgive me. I'm going to say it again. This is according to Your word. I'm going to agree with Your word. Let God be true and every man a liar, that thou might be justified in thy words, accounted righteous in thy words, and might prevail when you come into judgment." Now, folks, we're about to come into judgment. I know some of you don't believe that. Some of you are in it right now and you don't know it, but we're about to enter into judgment. And God's saying the most important tool you have is a renewed mind speaking out of your mouth the Word of God. That's the powerful thing that you've got. Notice what Jesus did and His disciples, who turned the world upside down with what they said, the things that they commanded, and the things that they said in agreement with the Word of God. It brought repentance. It brought deliverance. We have to change our mind. We have to be careful what we put in our computer, like Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says. Let's read that. Philippians 4 and 8. Philippians 4 is an awesome chapter about being at peace, right? Being anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known unto God with thanksgivings, right? Be anxious for nothing. Well, he tells us something about being at peace by what we put into our mind, what we program our computer with, right? And in verse 8 he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, I was thinking about what Brother Bill was saying the other day. Brother Bill's over here sitting on the, as a moderator here on the computer, and he was saying, actually, everything goes into your mind is still there. It's, the recall is the problem, but it's all still there. And you know what, folks? We don't want to be polluted by the things of the world, do we? We want to put things in our mind that will cause us to think and speak properly in agreement with the Word of God. We don't want a leaven that leavens the whole lump, do we? We don't want to fill our mind up with the TV and the things of the world and the love of the world. We want to fill up our mind with the Word of God and fulfilling His will and walking as a disciple, right? This is what we want. Well, He tells you to think on the good things. You know, the gospel is the good news. He also says that's the power of God unto salvation. The good news, right? Not the bad news, not the conspiracies, not the studying the false doctrines, you know. Paul in Romans 16 and 19, he tells us, I would that you be wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. In other words, don't keep studying the evil in the world. Start studying the good, because when you sow this into your heart, it brings forth Jesus Christ. That's why it tells you, think on these things. These have the power to bring forth Christ in you. Now, Christ in you can take care of that evil. It won't be a problem for Him. It won't even tempt Him. Did you know that? Christ in you cannot be tempted with evil. Okay? It's the other part that belongs to you that can be tempted of evil. The part that has to die can be tempted of evil, right? So he tells us, now, you think on these things. What things are good, that are lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things, you know. Think on the good things. And he also says in verse 9, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Wow, so we have been given some awesome examples here. Not only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, many others here who have gone on before us, who are filled with the Word of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, or our examples. And it's a death experience to self, but it's a resurrection experience of Jesus Christ living in us. And He wants to use our tongue to do the same thing that the tongue of His first body did, which brought deliverance and blessing to the world, right? It turned everything around, not just that body, but everything around. And in order to do that, we have to fight this warfare that we're called to fight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he tells us that this warfare is not of the flesh. You know, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. One of those weapons, the most important weapon, is the tongue. When you agree with the Word of God, you are accounted righteous. When you speak in agreement with the Word, you're accounted righteous. Then you're entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. One of the benefits of the kingdom is the reconciliation, which is the exchange between you and that cross. How that now God has taken away your sins, your sinful life, your sinful tongue, everything, and nailed it on that cross. And He's taken the righteousness of Jesus Christ and given it unto you. Now, He's given this to you as a benefit, but in order to receive this benefit, you have to be accounted righteous. Right? And that's why you speak what the Bible says about you. For instance, you were crucified with Christ. It's no longer you that live, it's Christ that lives in you. Right? Can you confess that? You say that might make people think I'm proud. Well, no, it don't make any difference. This is what the Apostle Paul taught us to say and to believe and to think. That we don't live anymore, Christ lives in us. That's the gospel. That's the good news that is the power of God unto salvation. But if it doesn't come out of your mouth, it's not going to work. See, you have to agree with it. And if everything you say is contrary to that, You may call yourself a believer, but there's no fruit of it. See, those are idle words. Okay. So, he tells us, casting down imaginations, and the word sometimes translated reasonings, it's the word logismos, from where we get the word logos, you know, and casting these down, these imaginations, and everything that's exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the more we're able to do this, the more we're going to speak good things, and the more we speak the good things, the more our heart is going to change. Because remember, the tongue has the power to turn the whole body. If you agree with the gospel, you're entitled to the benefits. If you're entitled to the benefits, Christ's life is your life, you see. And being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full. So be careful about that, too. Just don't worry about that. Leave that until Christ is manifest, and he'll do it. He'll take care of it, right? You know, he can judge, but we can't, right? So we need to rest and trust in him. We need to renew our mind so that our mouth will say good things. But at the same time, we need to study the word and begin to say these things, because your tongue is the pen of a ready writer, Scripture says. And you can write the word of God upon your heart. You can speak these things so that they get down in your heart, so that they come up out of you naturally and affect things about you, affect your own life, turn your own vessel, you see, like a rudder turns a ship. A little tiny rudder turns that great big ship, you know. Well, Proverbs chapter 4 is a good revelation concerning this. In verse 20, "My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Obviously, we're going to have to pull away from the world in order to do this, right? These things have to be important to us. The Word of God has to be important to us. If the world is more important, let me tell you, God knows it. And it will be proven by what you say, too. "Let them not depart from thine eyes." Hey, that's a pretty steady devotion to the Word of God, right? "Keep them in the midst of thy heart." You know, think on them, meditate on them. Wake up in the morning. That's when you know you love the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you think about is God. You know, not what am I going to do today? You know, what am I, you know, the things of the world, you know. "Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them." You want life? Well, devote yourself to the Word of God. You know, cast aside everything else that's distracting. Devote yourself to the Word of God. "They are life to those that find them, and health to their flesh." You know, the Bible says he sent his word and healed them. The word of God is health. The word of God will deliver you from the curse of this world. It is health. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." There it is again. How is it that out of your heart issues your own life? How is that, you know? He said, keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, be careful what you put in, because what you're sowing in there is going to come forth out of there. He said, out of it are the issues of life. And here's how. "Put away from thee a wayward mouth." Put away from thee a wayward mouth. A mouth that's out of the way, not in the way. You know, in the book of Acts, they called it the way. What was it talking about? The way of Christ, right? We were to follow him in the way. You want to know the way? Well, follow me. That's what Jesus said, right? Okay, I am the way. "Put away from thee a wayward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." Perverse lips. "Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Make level the path of thy feet." Wow, notice again, here we come back to the same thing. He says, you know, be careful what you put in your heart. Put aside the wayward mouth. Make straight paths for your feet. Again, the tongue has the power to turn about the whole body also. You confess what the Word of God says. God says you're righteous. I'm going to give that boy what he needs. That's just exactly how it works. It's very simple. "Make level the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Incline thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest preserve discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. We have to be careful that we're going to agree with God. A high priest of our confession is Jesus Christ. He offers our confession before the Father, right? So we're going to talk more about that later. But it's very important that you are confessed before the Father. And the confession, the word confession, homo legeo, means to speak the same as. You want to speak the same as Jesus? He's going to speak that to the Father, you see. And the Father will deliver unto you the benefits that are needed, right? For the lips of a strange woman, drop honey. Now, who's he talking about here? He's talking about the harlot. And some of you know about the harlot. Some of you have come out of harlot churches. Well, he says, the lips of the strange woman drop honey. Then, you know, they're sweet to the flesh, right? But not to the spirit. You know, when we find God's words, they're sweet in our mouth, but they're bitter in our belly. You know what that means? The flesh don't like it. The flesh doesn't like God's word. Don't let God speak unto us, the Israelites said, you know, when they were at the foot of the mountain. If he speaks to us, we'll die. That's exactly so, folks. If you receive his word into you, that old life will die. And that old harlot will die in you too here. So he says, the lips of a strange woman drop honey, but her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Yes, apostate religion, folks, doesn't lead you anywhere but to death. It's a deception, a strong delusion. We want to come out from among her and come into agreement with the Word of God, where God says, you are righteous. Be justified in our words. Be prepared to go into judgment, because we're ready to conquer and not be conquered, right? And we need to keep the lips of life, you know, the words of life, right? I like Psalm 41:41 too. He says, now we can go to God. You say, what am I going to do? I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm dwelling in the midst of unclean lips, you know, like the prophet said, you know. Oh, Lord, help me. Well, that's good, because he will help you, you know. You come to, if this is important to you, and you want to live holy, he's listening, okay? And here's what David said. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. So, Lord, don't let unclean things come out of my mouth. You pray that. You believe that. You trust in God, because it's all by grace. It's not by your works, right? Oh, I've got to be holy. I've got to train. We just saw the other day that according to James chapter 2, the tongue can no man tame. It's the Lord that tames the tongue. Okay. First, you got to repent, you see. First, you got to know that you need to agree with him, you see. And in agreeing with him, you can walk together with him. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, the Lord is going to be with you in this. Just agree with him. It's your faith. It's not your works, right? So he says, he prays to the Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Oh, that's a good prayer. See, this is a man that understands it's by grace. I got to trust in God. He's the only one that can bring us to pass. He can tame this tongue. You know, and I'm trusting him. I'm believing him, right? Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. Incline not my heart. He wanted a heart that was in agreement with the Word of God, with the Lord, so that what he said would also be with the Lord, you know, and doing his work. You know, your heart teaches your mouth, and your mouth gives grace to your heart, you see. We're commanded to teach our mouth. You know, like in Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He that giveth heed unto the word shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. See, you remember we saw in Exodus 15 how that when Moses and the children of Israel were going into the wilderness, they went to Marah. There was no water where they were, and they went to Marah, which means bitterness, and they couldn't drink the water. It was death to them. It was killing them. Hey, think about it, folks. The thing that's killing God's people, Matthew 15 speaks of this, what defiles the man. It's what comes out of his mouth. James chapter 2 talks about the spring that comes up out of man is both blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be. He said, out of the same spring shouldn't come forth sweet water and bitter, you know? So the sweetness of the lips, it represents the word, the words that are transformed by a renewed mind, the words that are in obedience to the word of God, right? The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. You see that? If you speak the word of God, it will increase learning. Understanding is a wellspring, there it is, of life unto him that hath it. How's that? Because it comes right up out of your innermost being and flows right out of your tongue. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being or out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. How is it that the Spirit gives us these living waters? Well, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They go into you. The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance all things that he said unto you and brings them up out of you. Many of you felt that anointing to speak to people. And it's really sweet, isn't it? When you're able to speak to people and give them a good word, something that they need, you know. And it comes flowing out of you and it touches their heart. And you're so overjoyed with that, you know. That's that wellspring of life coming up out of you. And God's got a lot more of that for us. So, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the correction of fools is their folly. The heart of the wise, here it is, instructeth his mouth. You know, we need to instruct our mouth. We need to make sure that we agree before God. It's very important that we come into agreement with God. And the heart of the wise instructeth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. This is very important. We need to train our mouth. We can get our friends to help. We can get our mate to help. We can get our children to help. You know, help one another to say things that are in agreement with the Word of God. Do you know that in Numbers chapter 30, I'm not going to go there right now because it would take too long, but in Numbers chapter 30, the Lord said that someone who was in authority, like in a family, it doesn't just stop there, but in that particular text, that's what he's talking about. Somebody, the person who's in authority in a family can disallow rash utterances spoken out of someone. Disallow them. So, no, we don't agree with that. We're not going to accept that, you know. Don't be offended if someone does this with you. No, we're not going to accept that. We don't want to believe for that. We don't want to speak that. Let's don't speak that, you know. So, I mean, you make mistakes sometimes. You may have to back up and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to talk that way. I want to agree with your word. I want to speak the blessing. I want to speak the blessing and not the cursing, because I'm capable of doing that too. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So let's agree with God's word. It's supernatural. And when you speak the word of God, you're not speaking the things that are all the time. Sometimes you're speaking the things that are not. You're calling the things that be not as though they were. You may be speaking something that you can't see with your eyes, but your tongue has the power to bring it to pass, because God hears your tongue and he hears that you're agreeing with him, and he imparts grace because you do that. See, the heart of the wise instructeth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Health, you know, your life proceeds from your bones, doesn't it? Right? Your bone marrow, your blood is made there, you see, and your life proceeds forth out of your bones. So he says, health to your bones. Praise God. Agreeing with the Word of God, speaking the Word of God. Agree that you are blessed, that you are healed, that you are delivered from the curse of this world. Agree with it. Agree with it so God can bring it to pass. Because your faith goes up to God through your high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you speak it, he offers this before the Father. It's your sacrifice. Yes, you are sacrificing the old life to say these things because they're contrary to your old life and contrary to your human nature. But the Lord Jesus is going to offer these before the Father, and you're going to receive grace for it. So I like chapter 15 and verse 28, too. It says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer." Study to answer. Study the word to know how to answer people and how to agree. You know, people wonder, how can I answer people when I believe in God that I'm healed and yet they can see that I'm not? Well, Jesus said, don't forget what Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. Confess means speak the same as. Now, what does this word say? It says, by his stripes you were healed. Are you going to confess that? Are you going to confess that, no, I'm trusting God, and I believe his word, and I'm not walking by sight, and I accept his healing? Are you going to confess that before men? I tell you, when people do that, they see miracles. They see power. And if you do the same thing about your soul, if you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin but alive unto God, and you begin to speak it out of your mouth, God will give you grace. It's not because you're trusting in your power, it's because you're trusting in his, and you're coming into agreement with him, and you're walking together with him. See? And so he says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And I might say there's a lot of Christians that are wicked. You can tell by what they say. It's contrary to God's word. They do not agree with God. They're calling God a liar every time they open their mouth. God is our Savior. He's already taken care of these things. He's delivered us. He's healed us. He's blessed us. He's our Savior in all things. And he'll protect us under the shadow of his wings, right? The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Who are the righteous? You know that the word righteous here in the Hebrew, the equivalent in the New Testament, is the same word also for justification. Justified, right? Let God be true and every man a liar, that thou might be justified or imputed righteous. You see? So, the person here who is righteous is the person who is determined to agree with God. Let God be true and every man a liar, that thou might be justified. That's what we need, folks. We need the justification of the Lord. A person who is walking in the light, as he is in the light, when they understand something from God, they want to agree with it. They want to speak it. And God wants to hear it too. Now, he doesn't hold things against you, even though some things you're saying right now may be bringing you under a curse. I have to tell you that you, as you add understanding to your soul and you learning to your lips and you begin to speak those things, you're going to come out from under that, you see. That's God's plan. So let God be true and every man a liar. And we need to learn to be, in many instances, until we speak the word of God, we need to learn to be quiet. I mean, we're too impulsive. People who are ruled by their emotions is an impulsive people. And things will come up out of you and you'll wish you hadn't said them. But they're gone, you see. And that's when you have to repent. But we need to learn to be quiet. You know, we need to shut up a lot of times. And we need to practice that, you know. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it's been spoken. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Now, of course, we know that we are the house of God, and everywhere we go, we need to keep our foot, right? But in particular, too, when you come in the midst of the brethren, you know, be sure that you're agreeing with the word here. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, for to draw near to hear is better than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they know not that they do evil. What do you suppose? He's talking about the sacrifice of fools. Well, he said, it's better to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. And, of course, he's talking about just speaking rashly out of your mouth, things that you don't know about. Even Job, who was a perfect and upright man in the eyes of the Lord because he was justified by faith, no doubt. But even Job spoke things that he didn't know about. He repented in dust and ashes for the self-righteousness that was coming out of his mouth. Wouldn't it be better if we would learn to be quiet and just kind of speak when spoken to? You know what I'm talking about? By the Lord, obviously. But he says in the next verse, "Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God." I tell you, God is an awesome ruler. I mean, he doesn't get the respect from us that he should. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. But he says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few." Let thy words be few. Wow. That's why I like to speak the Word of God a lot. And when I teach, I like to teach the Word of God a lot, because I can't really improve on what the Lord's already done here. And anybody that tries is probably getting into some bad areas, okay? But let thy words be few. Since God's on the throne, he's sovereign, and a man can receive nothing except to come from him, and he works all things after the counsel of his own will, we need to be careful what we say in front of him. Yeah, we need to honor him. We need to humble ourselves and just keep the old flesh silent. You know, you let the flesh talk, pretty soon he thinks he has a right to, right? And he doesn't have a right to. Dead men don't talk. Your flesh don't have any rights in this world anymore. He said, "Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin." You know, I remember what a brother told me years ago. He said, "You take the old man, you slap him on the face, he just turns the other cheek, right? You don't do a thing, you know? And with your tongue, it ought to be the same way. Dead men don't talk, right? And so tell him to shut up, you know, and let the word of the Lord go forth out of you from your spirit man, right? So let your words be few," he says. He said, "By thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, of course, people sometimes think, well, that's just talking about speaking ugly or speaking curses or whatever. Well, you know, anytime you disagree with the Word of God, it's a curse. Jesus said, "If you're not for me, you are against me." You understand? You're either in agreement with him or you're not, you see. There's no gray area there, you see. So I'm not saying we have to necessarily always quote the Word of God, but we have to be in agreement with it. We should be training our tongue to come into agreement with it. This is pleasing to our Father, you see. And it makes us dynamite to everything around us. Power is coming forth out of us anytime we're in agreement with the Word of God. Power is healing the sick and delivering and turning our heart and all these things that are necessary to be done, right? But our words should be few. And Proverbs 17, verse 27 says, "He that spareth his words hath knowledge, and he that is of a cool spirit is a man of understanding." So if you learn to be quiet, you know, first of all, you can't hear anything while you're talking. You know, you want to listen to the Holy Spirit. He knows what's going on around you. He knows what's there before you get there. You know, you need to listen to him, right? So he says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted as wise. When he shutteth his lips, he is esteemed as prudent." Well, hey, that gives hope for all of us, doesn't it? If we just be quiet when we don't need to be talking, God at least imputes some righteousness to us there for that, you know? And Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, it said, "In the multitude of words, there wanteth not transgression." In other words, if you're a big talker and you talk all the time, you're doing a lot of sinning. There's a high likelihood you're doing a lot of sinning, okay? "With the multitude of words, there wanteth not for transgression." No lack of transgression. You see a person that talks all the time just because they enjoy hearing themselves talk. And just be careful. But he that refraineth his lips doeth wisely. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. Notice it's choice silver. The righteous choose what they're going to say. And their words are valuable like silver, you see. The heart of the wicked is of little worth, and the lips of the righteous feed many. But the foolish die for lack of understanding. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. Spiritually, physically, our words are powerful. We're going in the wilderness to come, folks. We're going to see how words, spoken words, are going to deliver everything that's needed and necessary for life. We're going to see this. God's going to show it. The righteous are once again going to live by faith in the days to come, because God has designed it that way. Proverbs 29 and verse 20, it says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." You know, why is a person hasty? You know, why is it that they speak before they think? Most often it's because they're ruled by their emotions, right? They're not ruled by the Spirit. People that are ruled by the Spirit, they're listening a lot. They want to know what God has to say and what He wants to say through them. And they want to know what the Word of God has to say. They want to speak from the renewed mind. But a person who's hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. And chapter 21 and verse 23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." We can ask the Lord, put a watch before our lips, but at the same time, we need to restrain words and thoughts that are of the world. When you get in among the worldly people, if you're apt to join them in their speaking in the worldly ways, the best thing for you to do is repent and separate yourself from them until you've broken that habit, and begin to get in the Word of God and begin to speak these things. Train your lips, as we've seen. You know, give knowledge to your lips. And whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Where does the trouble come from? Out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. You agree with the curse, you get the curse. You agree with the blessing, you get the blessing. You agree with the curse, you give the curse to everybody around you. If you agree with the blessing, you can give the blessing to everyone around you. And we need to be, as James says, quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, right? James chapter 1 and 19. "You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You know, if we will slow down and give up impulsiveness, we have time for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. You know, our conscience will guide us if we will just be slow to speak. The impulsiveness, again, it doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, a Spirit-led life. It comes from a fleshly-led life. It comes from the impulsiveness of emotions, right? And the Lord wants to wean us away from being ruled by our emotions. Do you know that sometimes God has to do things to stop us from speaking because He has an agenda that He wants to do? And we're supposed to be His vessels through whom He speaks this agenda. And if we speak contrary to it, we can hinder it. So I think that's one reason Jesus put people out of the room that spoke unbelief. He just put them out of the room when He wanted to do a miracle. He didn't want them speaking against it. And He didn't want to give any accreditation to their foolish talk with this miracle, right? Well, you remember the story in Luke chapter 1, how that Zacharias, the priest, was promised a child, a miraculous child, John the Baptist, right? And the problem was, he spoke against it. And in verse 18, Zacharias said unto the angel who brought this glad tidings unto him, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." And the angel answering and said unto him, I'm Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak unto thee and to bring these things, these good tidings. In other words, don't you have any respect, man? And what are these words that we're receiving out of these pages, friends? This is the word of God Almighty. We should have some respect, you know? And Zacharias wasn't having any respect. Here's an angel talking to him. He said, how do I know this is going to happen? I mean, it doesn't look like it could happen. Look at me. Look at my wife, right? He says, look, I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to tell you this. Verse 20, behold, thou shalt be silent and not be able to speak until the day that these things come to pass, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So the Lord had to shut him up. He was speaking a curse. He was going to hinder it. See, God stands behind his word. When he says that what you say makes a difference, he means it. Not because you're so great, but because he's given us the authority on this earth to do these things, you see. See, the Lord has delegated this authority, and he's not taking it back. Did you know that Jesus came to do these mighty works? But people think, wow, yeah, he was the Son of God. But listen to what John 5 says, and he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is Son of Man, not Son of God. Why? Because God gave authority on the earth to man, who art man, that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man. See? You have set him over the works of thy hands. See, God has given authority in this earth to man. That's why he wants to move through man, like he did through Jesus, the Son of Man, right? Well, Jesus had authority to execute judgment because he was a Son of Man. Now, here's Zacharias, who was given authority to execute judgment, blessing, whatever, that came out of his mouth. But he didn't believe, so what was coming out of his mouth was negative. He was hindering God. You say, how could man hinder God? Because God has given authority, and he won't take it back. And sometimes he has to move people out of the way in order to do what he wants to do, because they're just a hindrance, see? And you wonder why doesn't the Lord use me? Well, sometimes it's because he can't. How can two walk together except they be agreed, right? He can't. So we want God to be able to speak through us these blessings, these miracles, these signs and wonders. Everything Jesus spoke, he spoke it before it came to pass. And we do too. We have to speak it. We have to call things that be not as though they were. We speak them before they happen. See? And so Jesus wants to be able to do that through us. We can't speak against what his will is, you see? And if we do, sometimes the Lord has to move us out of the way and use someone else. Sometimes moving out of the way isn't pleasant. It wasn't for Zechariah. He lost his tongue for a while, right? Sometimes it's not pleasant. God bless you, saints. I hope you're getting some understanding from this, and I hope you'll train your tongue in the ways of the Lord. God bless you. We'll do this again. I think we'll go on with a little series here with the tongue, okay? Keep me in prayer. I appreciate it. Good night.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Of red and white, Jesus, I mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you.
Jerusalem.